So if you had your Bibles this morning, can you stand to your feet as you open your Bibles to Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. Book of Jeremiah in the Bible. Verse 17, verse 9 and 10. We're going to read the scriptures and then we're going to give the title of this morning's message.
Okay.
Verse 9 from the NAS says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick, but who can know it? The Lord, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, and according to the results of his deeds." You may be seated. The ST this morning is your heart.
Your heart.
Your heart. As we look at the message this morning, I want you to be busy looking at what's going on inside of you. As we were teaching the kids this morning, I asked them, did they know what the soul was? And did they know where the soul resides? And so what I want you to ask yourself is, what's going on inside of your soul? Because your soul is your volition, mind, will, and emotion of your heart.
Yeah.
The way you think. Go ahead and write this down if you don't know what your heart is. ST number two. Not number one, number two. Your heart. Write this down in case you didn't know what it is. The heart is your thinking, your mind, your desires, your understanding, your emotions, your will. That's what your soul is made of, your heart. Write them down. Because everybody in here has a heart. You have a heart to do what you want, or you have a heart to do what God wants. And anytime you don't have a heart to do what God wants, that's the wrong answer. So let us begin this morning. ST number one. Sermon text number one. Jeremiah 17 chapter, verse 9 and 10. We want to look at the text. And verse 9 tells us your heart is deceitful.
Amen.
Your heart is even fooling you in your thinking. And when you leave God out, you already have been deceived in your understanding. It says the heart is more deceitful. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Than all else. That means more than anything else, your heart is totally messed up. Verse number 10 is going to show you what God is doing. What is God doing? He's searching your heart. He's testing your heart. And your response shows the consequence. Searching, testing, and then it's back in your hands, your response. Then it moves from your hands into God's hands, consequence. Y'all have those bullet points?
Amen.
So let's put Jeremiah 17 and 9 back up. The heart is more deceitful. You ever wonder why you think some ugly stuff before? That's because that fallen nature that came from Adam is inside of you. Every one of us that's born got a deceitful heart.
Amen.
That means you are lying to yourself and don't even realize it. First of all, you say, ain't nothing wrong with me. You ever tell somebody that? When they see you do something ugly? Last time you cussed somebody out? Say, that really wasn't me. Yeah, if you did it, it came from where? It came from where?
Amen.
Came from your heart. And you can say that wasn't you, but folks, that's the genuine you. And God put you in a situation for you to see what kind of heart you have. See, your heart is your mind. Your heart is your will. Your heart is your desires and your understanding. And your emotions. And what we want to do is gravitate to our emotions real quickly and let our actions show. Your emotions ought to be the last thing you respond to. You ought to respond instantly to what did God say. God said, don't trust your feelings, but what did I say? If God say, forgive, what's a good thing to do?
Forgive.
Don't trust your feelings, because I'm going to tell you, your feelings ain't going to want to forgive. Soon as somebody does something to you, guess what you're going to want to do? Wait for my opportunity. I'm going to get them. Revenge.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, say the Lord. I will repay. That's not your job. But we do it. Why? Because we're listening to the lie.
Yeah.
See, when you got saved, you got the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now gives you right thinking. And it's up to you, or you're going to carry it out. See? See, you serve God with your whole heart, willing mind, and your intentions and your understanding to be seeking Him. You say, well, Pastor, where did you get that from? Follow me, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. The advice that God gave Solomon. David gave Solomon. Chronicles 28, verse 9 and 10. Chronicles in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. God told David to tell his son Solomon to guard your heart. Look what Solomon told. Look what David told Solomon. He said right there in verse 9. And as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him. Notice what the definition is. How? With your whole heart. And what? A willing mind. For the Lord searches what?
All
hearts. Every heart on the planet, every day God looks at it, see what's going on between them and Him. And understands every intent of the thoughts. See, you can't fool God. God already know what you're thinking. Right now, you're sitting in the sanctuary. If you think about something else other than listening to the pastor, guess what God sees? He says what? Every intent of the thoughts. And if you seek Him, know what's going to happen? He will let you find Him. And if you forsake Him, He will reject you.
Amen.
And He told Israel, if you keep on doing it, you keep on doing it, it'd be forever. How many of you don't want to be separated from God?
None.
How many want to be separated from God?
None.
See,
no,
see, really deep down, you don't really want to be separated from God, but your fallen, deceptive thinking caused you to do that. Because sin is what caused you to be separated from who? From a holy God.
Yeah.
All it takes is one sin to keep you from being in the presence of a holy God. That's why God gave us the benefit of 1 John to confess our sin.
Amen.
If you confess your sin, the Bible says He is what?
Faithful
and just to forgive us of all. It didn't say some, did it? It says all what? Unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And don't you want God to forgive you of the stuff that you did before you got saved?
Oh Lord.
And now that you are saved, you know what He's doing? He's forgiving you of the stuff you're doing, even though you're saved. See, God wants an intimate relationship with you, and you're the ones telling God, I don't want no time. I ain't got no time for you. Matthew 11:28, one of the five things that we have been teaching, knowing and remember. God desires an intimate relationship with you. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Until you get sick and tired of the burden of sin, God says, I can't help you. Until you get sick and tired of being deceived by the fallen world and thinking it's right and God's wrong, God says, I can't help you. But when you fall on your knees, you say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me. God says, immediately you'll find me. Because I am a rewarder of those that what?
Diligence.
That what?
Diligence.
How bad do you really want God?
Uh-huh.
See, it ain't God with the issues. It's our messed up heart.
Yeah.
Our messed up thinking.
Uh-huh.
And your heart is your thinking. Messed up thinking will result in messed up action. So when you're searching for something, you ever looked? You ever been found looking for something before? I know several times I put my key down and get busy doing stuff in the house, and I come back. What did I do with my keys? Where did I put them? And I start immediately for a search. And I've learned something from my wife. She started praying when she can't find stuff. And the Lord answered right away.
Uh-huh.
The sure way it is. So I piggyback on that. Lord, show me where my keys are. And I go right back there and they're sitting on the counter where I left them. See, God said he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him.
Oh, yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
Yeah.
So immediately, if you ask God to give you understanding, you know what he wants to do?
Uh-huh.
Drop the lies and the deception that's in your mind and give you the truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the truth.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ is the truth.
Yeah.
And you know where he now lives?
In me.
He now lives in you. And he's in your soul. God says, I'm testing you every day.
Amen.
He says, the heart is more deceitful than all else. And I got to looking at that. Turn to Jeremiah 17:9 again. He says, all else. And when God say all else, what does that mean?
All else.
Your heart is so messed up than anything else ever made. You just don't realize it. See, you ever wonder why you start thinking stuff you ain't got no business thinking about? Because God already told you, because you have a fallen heart. Your heart is deceitful. And you know what deceitful means? It's trying to lie to you. It's trying to fool you. Thinking you can do stuff without God.
All right. Amen.
And notice what else it says. It says, who can understand it? It's you so sick, you need God for help. I'm helping somebody today. So next time you get tempted to do something against somebody else, realize it's your fallen heart that's not surrendering unto him. God said, I am the Lord God of the universe. And let me say this again. We can memorize scripture, which is good, but it don't do you no good to memorize scripture and not apply it.
Yes, uh-huh.
See, James says, doers of the word. When you apply it, that brings God's power down on earth to be executed.
Amen.
But as long as you're doing what you think and what you feel, then you're operating with that deceitful heart. Am I helping somebody today?
Amen.
John chapter 2, verse 24. God said, I already knew what was in man.
Yeah.
Verse 24 and 25. And God said, I'm not going to trust no human being. Because I already knew what was in man. And he's not going to entrust himself to any human being. Because he knows every human being from the descendant of Adam is messed up. Except one person. And that is his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So what's the solution, Pastor? Verse 10. What is the solution?
Yeah.
The solution is let God reveal to you what you like. Every day God puts you in a situation for you to sow what you like. He tests the pastor every day, every time you get on the freeway.
Amen.
And if the truth be told, he's testing you too.
Amen.
And if you can let somebody pull in front of you and give you the finger and blow their horn and you don't have a response, it's in the flesh, you done already deceived yourself. Come on.
Amen.
Tell truth, shame, the devil. See, that's that fallen heart. It takes God to test to see what's inside of you. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether it will keep his commandments or not. God testing you every day to see, is his son going to come through you? See, when you got saved, you got Jesus Christ's divine nature now living inside of you. How many people go to church and never understand that? You have the God of the universe now living on the altar of your soul, and all you got to do is yield to him. But you can't do it if you don't read God's word. When's the last time you read God's word? When's the last time you picked God's word up and read it and say, Lord, speak to me? Has it been a month? Has it been 2 weeks? Has it been a week? If it wasn't today, you already went too long. God said, the only way I'm going to be able to help you is to renew your mind. Then Romans chapter 12 says how? by the renewing of your mind. See, when you do what God say, then heaven is being seen on earth. You pass the test. When you do what you want, you fail the test. When you steal something, guess what you're doing? Listening to your own justification. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not what?
Steal.
Thou shalt not steal. Anybody told any lies lately?
No.
Anybody say they haven't told no lie? I already just told a what? All of us have those fallen nature that the Ten Commandments point at to say you need God's help. And so when you know you don't have the ability to fulfill God's perfect standard, you ought to fall on your knees and say, Lord, help. I need you. That's the right response. But to respond like, well, I can handle it. I don't need you. That's the wrong response. What's a response? A response is the reaction, answer to something by your action or your speech. And you do know you're going to respond to something, right? That's a sacrifice that's coming from you that's going up to the very nostrils of God, showing you what's inside of you. Are we teaching this morning? Reminds me of calling it like it is. Calling it like it is. A husband and a wife were driving through Louisiana. And they approached a little area called Nacogdoches. And so they started arguing about the pronunciation of the town. And so they argued back and forth, back and forth. So they stopped at this fast food place and went to the counter. And while they were getting ready to order some food, they asked the lady that was at the counter, he says, can you tell us, before we order our food, can you please settle an argument between me and my wife? Would you please pronounce where we are very slowly? So the young lady behind the counter leaned over to him real close and says, Burger King. Calling it out, God will describe what you really like. See, you can fool people, but you can't fool God. And God puts you in a scenario every day of your life to see what's going on between you and me. Because it's a reflection of your choice. It's a reflection of your decision. It's a reflection of your action. Follow me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. Solomon is trying to get us to see this. That there is one faith for all men. Forevermore, the heart of the sons of men are full of, y'all see this? Evil and insanity. And is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to die. Go to be dead. So Solomon is trying to get us to see every human being that's born got a contaminated heart. That's what he's trying to get us to see in Jeremiah. God already told you you have a messed up heart. Are you going to agree with him and concede? He says, Lord, help. And it starts with a choice. It starts with your choice. You choose every day either to yield to God or to respond by telling God, I ain't going to do what you want. That's why it's called sin. Your choice. In a school cafeteria, a worker placed a note on the front of a pile of apples. And the note says, only take one. God is watching.
Yeah.
So further down the line, there was a pile of cookies. So a little boy makes up his own note, and he wrote on there, take all the cookies you want, because God is watching the apples. God is looking at your choice. And he's looking at your response. Are you placing him first? Are you placing him first? When you don't do things the way Christ Jesus would have it to be done, then you telling God, I've been deceived. I think what I'm thinking is better. I think what I want is better. And notice the third point that's in this sermon, your response. Your response. Let's go back to ST number one. See, your response, once you do it, it's now in the hands of God, the consequence. And sometimes God has to let adversity come to get your attention until you run to him. Well, you know, you should have been there already in the first place, right? You need the Son for what?
Everything.
You need the Jesus Christ that died on that cross for your sin every day of your life.
Amen.
Are you going to let it happen? Are you going to let it happen?
No.
See, the consequence is completely God's. Your response is completely whose?
Mine.
Yours. And God says, I'm testing your heart. Are you thinking right? Put ST number 2 up there again. You have to remember, your heart is your thinking. Your heart is what's going on in your mind. Your heart is what's going on in your desires. Your heart is what's going on in your understanding. And your heart is circled by your emotions. Why? Because that has to do with your will. And God's testing you every day. Are you going to do my will? Or are you going to do your will? It reminds me of this perfect son. A man say, I have a perfect son. He doesn't smoke. And no, he doesn't. The man asked, he was being a question and answer. He says he has a perfect son. And the question was asked, but does he smoke? And the answer was, no, he doesn't smoke. And the question says, well, does he drink whiskey? And the answer is, no, he doesn't drink whiskey. The question came, well, does he ever have come home late? And the answer was, no, he doesn't ever come home late. And the man says, well, I guess you really do have the perfect son. How old is he? And the man says, he's 6 months old. Well, he's not quite old enough to sin, but guess what? The longer the legs, the shorter the wings. When he grows up, that sin nature is going to come out. And it will be evident. There's no angels born. By the way, don't let nobody lie to you and say, when you die, you'll be an angel. If God created you to be a human being, you will be a human being in eternity. See, false teaching just all over the place. God created you to be a human being, you will be a human being in eternity. But you will have a glorified body like Christ. That's if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, that's another subject. Are you saved?
Amen.
I say, are you saved?
Amen.
See, you got to guard your thinking. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I think we talked about this on Bible study night. Proverbs 4 and 23. You have to protect your thinking. You have to guard your mind. Verse 23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. The issues of life, how you think, how you proceed, how you respond, what your desires are. If you don't guard your thinking, Satan by default is going to give you lies and deception. And if you ain't careful, you're going to take it hook, line, and sinker. What's going on inside your heart? What's going on inside your heart? See, when you know your heart is messed up and that's your thinking, are you listening? Then from the start, you need to say, Lord, help me. Then you can know how to reply with the right values and the understanding. But if you're not asking God for help, you're already going to walk away with a misunderstanding. The wrong values, the wrong response. You need to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. How would Jesus have me to do it? If Jesus wouldn't want me to do it that way, then why am I hanging out with that? Let's look at the passage that's in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 and 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 and 23. Verse 20 says, and he was saying that which proceeded out of the man. This is when Jesus was talking about eating and what goes into the body. And he's taking it further to let them know it's way more than the physical. He says, that which proceeded out of the man, that is what defiles the man. What you say and what you do tells where the real contamination is. Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, he gives a whole list of sins. Evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murderers, adulteries. Verse 22. Deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. In verse 23, pay attention. All these things proceed from within and defile the person, defile the man. Watch what you do, and you will know what you really like. See, we can say, I'm a good person, but what you do is the proof if you are a good person. And if it's not Christ-like, hit the buzzer, it's wrong. That's why he says in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful, more deceitful than everything else. Have you come to reality that your heart is messed up? I'm helping you. You need to agree with God right up front.
Amen.
God, if God tells you your heart is messed up, what does that mean? It's up to you. Do you believe what God says about you?
Yeah.
And he said there is no exception. Romans chapter 3 tells us, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know you messed up?
Amen.
See, when you realize you need God's help, it's a starting point for healing, recovery, for victory, for Jesus to be seen on the planet right now. People expect a little out of church. You know that, right? People expect so little out of church nowadays. One fellow pastor asked another pastor. He says, do your members come to church expecting something? And the pastor answered, yes, sir, they sure do. They come expecting to be out of church by 12:15 or 12:30. You tell God what your expectation is by your response. And your inability opens the door for what? His ability. Say, Lord, I don't know how to tell the truth. I don't know how to believe the truth. I don't know how to live the truth. Yes. You're going the right way. So when you think you're thinking the truth, you've already been deceived to believe a what?
A
lie. And most of the time when people do stuff, we think they're the problem. I'm helping you. You better take it a little bit higher. If God allowed it to get to you, what is God doing? He's trying to show you what you like. Because the first thing you want to do is get back at them, right? And you messing with the wrong stuff. They ain't the problem. Your problem is the issue what God has allowed. Because he's trying to show you your heart is deceitful.
Amen.
Do you really know you messed up?
Amen.
I say, do you really know you messed up?
Amen.
So we want to stop the message right now and give an invitation.